Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. Should Christians be people who keep our word, and what does that mean? You're listening to Dr. Rocky Ramsey's sermon titled, Keeping Your Word. In this lesson, we'll learn three reasons for why we should keep our word, and then 4 points on what keeping our word means.
So tonight's message is a topic that you'd think didn't need to be discussed, but boy, does it. I want to talk to you about keeping your word. Keeping your word. As we continue our study of the book of James, look in your outline at James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. The most specific aim of this verse has to do with making oaths and swearing that we'll do something. The only reason people need to swear that they'll do something is because those they're telling don't think they will. I'll say that again. The only reason people have to swear that they'll do something is that those they're telling don't think that they will. If we would keep our word, be known for doing what we say, we would never have to swear. We wouldn't have to pinky swear, and we wouldn't have to swear on a stack of Bibles. We've probably heard of both of those. I'm sure there's lots more. But this principle applies even when we're technically not swearing. People in general formerly had more character and used to keep their word. Everybody didn't, but more did than do now. They did what they said they would do. You've heard the expression, a man's word is his bond. In a time and place far, far away, business deals and financial deals used to be made with a handshake. Now they're made with pages and pages and pages of legal documents drawn up by lawyers. I want to ask and answer two questions in this message. First of all, why should we keep our word? And then second of all, what does it mean to keep our word? So the first question, why should we keep our word? We should keep our word because, number one, God always keeps his word. He always keeps his word. And by always, I mean always. God has never not kept his word. He hadn't done everything I've wanted him to do. He hadn't done everything I thought he might do. But he's absolutely done everything he ever said he would do. He always keeps his word. Look at Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? You've probably all seen the bumper sticker, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, if God says it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. God always has, God always does, and God always will do every single thing he says he will do. Psalm 31:5 says that God is the God of truth. In John 14:6, Jesus said that he was the truth. Titus 1:2 says that God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18 adds that it's impossible for God to lie. So we're to be like him, and since he always keeps his word, then we ought to keep ours. Now put four things under that in your outline. These are things we can count on God to do. He said he would do them, and so we can count on him to keep his word. And I'm going to give you these because at the end of it, I'm going to pull it together. So first thing, God said he will be with us. He will be with us. He'll be with us whether we think he is or not. He's not with us because we feel him. He's not with us because we think he is. He's with us because he promised he would be. His presence isn't determined by our fickle emotions, but rather by his promise. Jesus said that he'd always be with us in Matthew 28:20. Hebrews 13:5, it says there that Jesus said that he would never forsake us. Listen to Isaiah 43:1-2. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, talking about trials, I will be with you. So God keeps his word. He will be with us. Number two. Second of all, God will help us. He will help us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that God limits our temptations and trials and that he provides a way of escape. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it tells us that God gives us grace that's sufficient for whatever we have to face. Grace there means strength. Listen to Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I read Isaiah 43, verses 1 to the start of verse 2. Now I'm reading verses 2 and 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord, your God, your Savior. So God keeps his word. He will help us. You can count on that. Number three, he is preparing a place for us. God is preparing a place for us. John 14, 2-3, Jesus tells us that he's doing that. In my house are many, King James says mansion, literally means dwelling places. And so he's preparing this place for us. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we find out that's a place where we'll see things eyes have never seen, hear things ears have never heard, and we'll experience what man can't even begin to imagine. He doesn't even have the capacity to realize how great it's going to be. So he's preparing this place for us. God keeps his word. He is preparing a place for us. And then number four, he will bring us to himself. He will bring us to himself. John 14:3, Jesus says that he will come for us, that you might be where I am. It might be through death. It might be through the rapture, as described in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. Galatians 1:4 tells us that he will deliver us from this present evil age. In Revelation 21, verses 3 to 4, it says that he will dwell among us. We will be his people, and God himself will be among us. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. Now listen closely. Because God keeps his word, we have the comfort of knowing that he's with us, that he'll help us, that he's preparing a place for us, and that he will bring us to himself. Now think about that. Think about the security, the stability, and the assurance we can have because God always keeps his word. If God didn't keep his word, you couldn't be sure of any of that. When you read the word hope in the New Testament, it's a word that, you know, we use hope like, well, I wish, maybe, you know, if we're lucky. But the word hope in the New Testament means a confident expectation. So isn't it great that when we come to the promise of God, it's a sure thing versus coming to what God has said and wondering, is this really true? Will he really do what he says he will do? Think of the comfort, the security, the assurance, the stability it gives us. I love this next verse, 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord, the children of Israel in the promised land, obviously. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Don't miss these next few words. Not one word has failed. Not one word has failed of all his good promise which he promised through Moses, his servant. Not one word has failed. Of course it didn't. It's God's promise. And he always keeps his word. And we're supposed to be like him. Now, here's the second reason we should keep our word. Number two, the Bible tells us to keep our word. The Bible tells us to keep our word. So James here in 5 verse 12 says, let your yes be yes, your no, no. That means when you say yes, the answer is yes. When you say no, the answer is no. When you say you'll do it, you'll do it. If you say you're not going to do it, you don't do it. Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. Now, why is it evil to go beyond this and start the swearing and making the oaths? You should speak what you mean and do what you say. So I'll put this in your outline. When someone continually tells you that they're telling you the truth, they probably aren't. See, a person who tells you the truth will tell you the truth and that's it. But a liar will tell you a lie and he'll tell you he's telling you the truth. He'll tell you, again, you gotta believe me, I'm telling you the truth. And it goes on and on and on and on. You know why? Because he's not telling you the truth. If you tell the truth and keep your word, if your yes is yes and your no is no, then you shouldn't ever have to convince people that you're telling the truth or that you'll do what you'll say. It's like if somebody's selling you something and they keep going on about what a really good deal it is. It probably isn't. If it's a really good deal, they'll say, it's a really good deal. Go check it out. But no, they'll go, oh, this is a real good, you won't find it this cheap anywhere else, and on and on. Somebody goes on like that, you can find it cheaper and better somewhere else. Same thing, if somebody goes on and on about you can trust them. Oh, you can trust me, you can trust me. You probably shouldn't. Because the person you can trust will tell you can trust him, and that'll be the end of it. And you will or you won't. So we should keep our word because the Bible tells us to. Now here's a third one, really important. People need us to keep our word. People need us to keep our word. In Proverbs 20 verse 6, it says, who can find a trustworthy man? I believe the King James says faithful. The word can be translated either way. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's nothing under the new under the sun, that what is has always been. Unreliable people and people who don't keep their word are not a new phenomenon. You can't count on everyone to do what they say they will do, correct? You just can't. Everyone's not trustworthy. Now, I've told this story several times over the years. Years ago, one of our community groups had a social at the lake. Betsy and I were invited. And so everyone was supposed to bring something. The menu was fried chicken, so there were about six fried chicken people. There were baked beans people, and there were other people bringing drinks and chips and other things. Well, if you remember me telling the story, none of the fried chicken people showed up. Okay? That's a bad thing. None of them bothered to say they weren't showing up. That's a worse thing. And none of them bothered to get the chicken, go to the Colonel or someplace and buy a bucket of chicken and send it with somebody who was going to show up. That's the third thing. I'm still in therapy over this. Since the main course was baked beans, the only consolation is it was an outdoor event, which brings me to the next verse. Psalm 12 verse 1 says, the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. So this verse says that the chicken no-showers weren't just unfaithful, they were ungodly. You gotta let it go, Rocky, you gotta let it go. Now honestly, I'm not in therapy over this, but I do have serious doubts about irresponsible people whose word means nothing and who clearly don't care about other people. If your word meant something, you'd keep it. If you cared about other people, you wouldn't leave them hanging like that. It's irresponsible. It's broken my heart over the years to find out that many people are married to someone who doesn't keep his or her word. I just can't imagine that. How do you live with someone that you can't count on to tell you the truth? Or if they tell you they're going to do something, you can't believe they're going to do it. Remember the old song, Making Love Out of Nothing at All? That's pretty much what you got to do when you live with somebody like that. Our spouses, our children, our friends, our church, our Lord need us to keep our word. So why should we keep our word? Because we're supposed to be like God, and he always keeps his word. Because the Bible tells us to keep our word, and because people need for us to keep our word. Now here's the question. What does it mean to keep our word? What's it mean to do that? I've got four things. Number one, first, be honest with others about your intentions. Be honest with others about your intentions. Some of you fall into the category I'm about to describe because they've never learned how to say no, or because they're insecure and afraid of being disliked. Some people will say whatever they need to say in the moment to make the other person happy with them. Did you get that? Because they're afraid of being disliked, because they don't know how to say no, then whatever they need to say for that person to like them, they'll say it. Instead of saying, no, I can't do that. No, I won't do that. They'll just go along with it. It's kind of like we see an attorney and say, what's the law say on such and such? And they'll usually say, well, what do you want it to say? Politician, well, what's your position on so-and-so? Well, what do you need my position to be to vote for me? So they'll just say whatever. Had a staff person was like this. He'd tell the biggest lie on the planet to get himself out of trouble and make himself look good. Some of these people might think that they might do what they're saying they will do. Others know from the beginning they're not going to do that. They just have no integrity. They just don't want somebody to dislike them. And so whatever they need to say to please that person, that's what they're going to say. Integrity requires honesty. So you say things like this, you know, I'd really love to, but I just can't. Or you can just say, I can't. You do know that it's your life and you get to make decisions. Now, some women don't know this. It's your life, you get to make decisions. You get to decide how people treat you. And you decide what you do and don't do. And put this down somewhere in your notes. You don't have to explain your why. Somebody says, well, would you come to so-and-so? No, I can't. Well, why? Well, if you want to see, just say, well, that's my business, not yours. You don't have to justify yourself to everybody who wants to obligate you to do something you don't want to do. So you say, no, I can't. If you wished you could, you can throw that in there, but if you don't be dishonest about that either, that becomes that people pleaser again. Well, I wish I could, but I can't. Then you go away thinking, thank God I got out of that. I'd rather go to hell than go to that thing, you know, whatever it might be. It's your life and your decision. You don't have to justify what you do to others. I can't. No, I'm not going to do that. That's what mature people do. In Matthew 21, 28 to 30, Jesus tells the story of a father who instructed two of his two sons to go out and work in the vineyard. If you remember this story, the first one said he would, but then he didn't. And the second one said he wouldn't, and then he did. If you say you will, if you will, then say you will. If you won't, say you won't. As in this story, it's better to say you won't and then do than to say you will and then don't. We're told in Exodus 23, verse 1, you shall not bear a false report. Well, that's what you're doing if you're lying. Yeah, I'll do that, and you know you're not going to do it. I'll bring the chicken. You're not going to bring the chicken. Maybe you are going to bring the chicken unless anything else on planet Earth comes up that might be preferable to you. Because you don't have any integrity, you don't have any maturity, you don't keep your word, and you probably don't have a lot of friends. And if you do, they're probably as sick as you are. Because no healthy person would be your friend after one or two misses. Am I in the right room? Yeah, you say, you know what? I expect more from my friends than that. If I say I will, knowing that I won't, I've just lied. And lying's a big problem to the God of truth and the God who is truth. Look at Revelation 21:8. For all liars, then the Greek word all means all, every single cotton picking one of them. All liars Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. If you say you'll do something that you know you're not going to do, you've lied. And the truth is, you'd rather offend God than have that person unhappy with you. Your whole world's backwards. To be a person who keeps his word, be honest with others about your intentions. Learn to say no. It's a beautiful word. It's a powerful word. It's a word you can use anytime you want to, and you don't have to explain it. Learn to say, I can't. You can say, sorry, I can't. But don't say sorry if you're not sorry. Just say, I just can't. Sometimes people say, can you do something? I say, I can't. They say, what are you doing? Nothing. Well, then you can. No, I'm doing nothing. I plan to do nothing. If I'm planning to do nothing, I can't do something. Most of us need to plan to do a lot more nothing than we do. So to keep your word, then you have to have integrity. Be honest with those about your intentions. Number two, this is the clear one that we know what this means. Do what you say you'll do. Do what you say you'll do. Last year, we discovered a wonderful ministry in Halls called Sacred Ground Hospice House. Me and a few others went over to tour the place to see what we might do to help them. Several of our women now volunteer over there on maybe a weekly basis. There's a lady named Cindy Bradley, who's the brainchild, the heart, and the driving force behind that place. So we were over there, so we told her that we would do something to help her. And she immediately said, I've had all kinds of people tell me they'd do something, and they didn't. Wasn't just one, wasn't just two. It apparently was a bunch of people. Oh, we'll come back and do this. Oh, we'll do this for you. We'll give that to you, et cetera, et cetera. And so she verbalized it. Some of you were in that meeting. She verbalized it. It had been so disappointing to her. And I told her, I said, we and I always do what we say we'll do. If we tell you we're going to do something, we're going to do it. Well, she didn't know us and probably thought, well, we'll see. Well, we're keeping our word. We gave them some money last year. This year, we've already paid for a well. We've already got a pump in the ground. We got an irrigation system going in the ground, and we're going to do this beautiful, big landscape job there so that the outside of that place matches the inside, which is just impeccable. We're doing what we said we would do. It's not that hard to do. You say you do it, you do it. In Numbers 30, verse 2, it says, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Psalm 15, 1 says, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Then he gives a list of things, and this is one of them in verse 4. It says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. To swear to your own hurt is to do what you said you'd do once you no longer want to do it. So you volunteered to do something. After you did, you think, why did I volunteer to do that? I don't have the time or the money or I just don't, the energy, or I just don't want to do it. But you said you would. So swearing to your own hurt is doing what you said you'd do, even though later you regret saying you'd do it. So if you say you'll be somewhere, get there. If you say you'll do something, do it. If you say you'll give something, give it. I wonder how many unbelievers have been turned off and offended by professing Christians who failed to keep their word and do what they said they'd do. I guarantee it runs in the tens of thousands. If you don't keep your word, please, I beg you, don't ever tell anybody you're a Christian. See, people don't judge Christianity by Jesus. They judge it by the worst version of anybody they've known who called themselves a Christian. And everybody's run into a jerk who calls himself a Christian. Probably all of you have. And so if you don't know the Lord, that's your impression. Yeah, I met a Christian once. Don't care for him, frankly. And if you've told somebody you'd do something and you don't do it, then the next guy who shows up and might want to tell them about Jesus is wasting his words. They've already shut that door. Don't do it. I've done it. You've probably done it. How many of you have said you'd do something and then later regretted saying you'd do it? Come on. Probably every one of us have somewhere along the way. You know, it sounded good in the moment. Later on, we thought, why in the world did I say I'd do that? I don't want to do that. We said we'd do something, regret it later. We wish we hadn't said anything, but we did. So do it. Even if it costs you more than you anticipated, do it. Why? Well, because your character is on the line, and frankly, the honor of Christ is on the line if they know you're a Christian. If you don't do it for the first, do it for the second. Now, here's the third one. The last two kind of give us some relief on this. Number three, apologize profusely if you mistakenly fail to keep your word. Apologize profusely if you mistakenly fail to keep your word. Probably all of us at one time or another said we would do something and just honestly forgot. I've done it. Have you? We just forgot. We meant to. We had every intention of doing it, and somehow we got busy doing other stuff, and the time went by, and then maybe later on it dawned on us, or maybe they called and said, where were you, or whatever else. We fully intended to do it, but we got busy and somehow didn't. It's sinful to say that you'll do something that you know you're not going to do. It's human to say so you'll do something and then maybe forget about it. You're not a bad person for doing that. You just forgot. Now, if you do it all the time, that's a problem. But if you've done it a time or two, and probably if you do it once, you may not ever do it again. Because you've embarrassed yourself. You can't believe you did it. You're worried about them having a just reason to be angry at you. And so you think, I'm going to do that again. It shouldn't happen often. So what do you do when you meant to but forgot to? Matthew 5, 23 and 24. If your brother has something against you, go and be reconciled to your brother. So here's what you do. You contact that person as soon as you can once you discover you've messed up. So it's the next day and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you have one of your brain unfreezes. That happened to you guys? And you get, right there it is in your head and you go, oh no. I was supposed to be so-and-so. I told so-and-so I'd do this for him or I'd meet him here or something. Now, don't just apologize like it's not a big deal. Profusely apologize like it is a big deal. Don't go in and say, I forgot about it, not a big deal. Well, it probably wasn't to you. It's a speck in your eye, but it was a mote in theirs, a beam. So you say something like this, I am so sorry and embarrassed that I didn't do what I told you I'd do. Somehow it slipped my mind. Please forgive me. Is there anything I can do now to make it up to you? That's a good apology. And just like the prodigal son who went home, remember he memorized his speech? Memorize this one. I am so sorry and I'm embarrassed that I didn't do what I said I'd do. Somehow it just slipped my mind. Could you possibly forgive me? And is there anything I can do now to make it up to you? Now, this is what people who keep their word but mistakenly didn't do what they meant to do, this is how they attempt to make it right. I'm going to guess that almost all of us have known someone who, when they told you they were going to do something, you just knew they probably wouldn't. Anybody here not know a person like that? I mean, they'll tell you all day long. They'll swear on a stack of Bibles and 100 pinkies and whatever else. And as soon as it comes out of their mouth, you go, yeah. I know your track record. I don't think you'll do that at all. We're not letting you bring the chicken, okay? So they promised to do it, but you knew they wouldn't. As soon as they said it, why? Because they have no integrity. They don't keep their word. Healthy people put people that don't keep their word out of their lives, if they can. If you don't keep your word, you don't have a lot of healthy people in your life because they won't have it. Finally, remember, people need you to keep your word. Number four, You'll like this one. Seek to rescue yourself from any ill-advised promise. Seek to rescue yourself from any ill-advised promise. Now listen carefully. If you said you would and didn't, you need to profusely apologize and do whatever you can to make restitution for what you failed to do. And there may be nothing you can do, but there might be. If you unwisely said you'd do something, and we probably have all done this, and that something is not in the near future, not in the near future, but the distant future, it's not wrong to try to get out of that commitment. So again, you said, you know, they're asking you to do something in 3 months. And you said, yeah, I'll do that. And then a week later, 2 weeks later, you start realizing, gosh, I don't know if I can do that or not. There's nothing wrong with going back to that person and trying to rescue yourself from what you said. So here are the verses for that in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 2 to 5. If you've been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you've come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, deliver yourself. If getting out would somehow damage that person that you made the commitment or promise to, then swear to your own hurt and keep your promise. If somehow would damage them or hurt them or cost them something, then just go ahead and keep your word. But if getting out will not cause them any real problems, feel free to ask permission to get out of the commitment you made. And you do that something like this. I am so sorry. I said or promised I would do such and such before I looked at my schedule or before I checked with my family or checked with my boss. And now I'm just not sure I can do that. Would it be okay if I don't go or come or do whatever it might be? If it'll cause any real problems, I'll still do what I said I would do, but it'd really be helpful to me if you could let me out of this commitment. I'll say that again. I'm so sorry. I said or promised that I would do such and such before looking at my schedule or consulting with my family or boss. I never should have promised to do it. Would it be okay if I don't go or come or do whatever? But if it'll cause you any real problems, I'll still do what I said I would do. But it would really help me if you'd let me out of that commitment. Now, they might not be particularly happy that you're getting out of commitment, but they will definitely know you're trying to do the right thing. And again, you've offered to say, if they want to hold you to it, you're going to do it. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, a good name is to be desired above riches. Well, if you don't keep your word, you don't have a good name. Now, here's a major warning. Major warning with children and grandchildren. And some people, they think that if you say you might do something, it means you promised you would. How many of you have had this happen with your kids? Well, maybe someday we'll blank and blank. You promised. Okay, small children do that. Some big children do that. Dysfunctional adults will do that. So you got to be real careful about saying what you might do. What you say is someday maybe we might blank. And what they hear is someday I promise you we will blank. And then they'll think you lied to them, even though you never promised to do whatever it is they want you to do. So what's it mean to keep your word? Be honest with others about your intentions. Right up front, have the character and the guts to say no. If you don't want to do it, say no. Just say, I can't. I can't. I just can't. Why not? I just can't. I got other things going. I've got other commitments. I just can't. Be honest about your intentions. Do what you say you'll do. If you say you'll do something, do it, even if it costs you. Apologize profusely if you mistakenly fail to do what you said you'd do. And then seek to rescue yourself from any ill-advised promise. So if you've made a bad deal from up front, you got some time and space in between, and you can get out of it, try to. I've spent my adult life living by these principles. There are a lot of people who don't like me, but nobody can say he told me he would do something he didn't do. He made me a promise he didn't keep. Nobody can do that. In my marriage, my wife has no reason on planet Earth to ever doubt that I will do what I say I will do. She has no reason on planet Earth to doubt I will ever do what I say I will do. And I have no reason on planet Earth to ever doubt that she will do what she says she will do. None. Now, I'm telling you, that makes for a good marriage. But if you're married to somebody, when they tell you something, you're not sure if it's the truth. They tell you they'll do it, you're not sure they will. You tell you they were here, you're not sure if they're here or there. You see how this builds confidence in and commitment to a relationship. Oh, I can always count on him. How much? 99% of the time? No, 100. He'll always do what he says unless he forgets, and then he'll profusely apologize and do whatever he can to make it up. Doing what you say you'll do is one of the ways you build real love in relationship. How do you love someone that you don't trust to tell you the truth or to do what they say they'll do? I don't know how you do that. Now here's the good news, and I'm through. I don't have to be good looking to keep my word, and that's a good thing. I don't have to be athletic to keep my word. I don't have to be talented to keep my word. I don't have to be particularly intelligent to keep my word. I don't have to be educated. I don't have to have a good job. I don't have to have any money to keep my word. I just have to choose to be that kind of person. I just have to choose to be that kind of person. The hell will freeze over before I don't keep my word kind of man. If you're not a person who keeps your word, it's not because you can't, it's because you just don't. And if that's you, I don't know how you look in the mirror. I couldn't look in the mirror. I would hate the man I saw.
We should keep our word because God always keeps his. The Bible tells us to do so, and people need us to keep our word. So let's be honest, do what we'll say we'll do, apologize if we fail, and be wise in promises. A great number of you would raise your hand to say that you either stopped going to church from boredom or you're currently considering leaving your church for the same reason. Nothing ever seems to happen or change, and you're not challenged in your faith. Well, we want to invite you to experience the Corrieton Difference this weekend. Go to CorrietonChurch.com to plan your visit. That's CorrietonChurch.com to plan your visit today.